Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times filling in for the living legend Michael Savage. Michael is off today. In fact, he wanted me to convey a message to all of you out there. He is now literally, as I speak, putting the finishing touches on what I believe will become a classic, maybe even one of his greatest books, Banned in Britain. Beating the liberal blacklist. Michael is literally writing, finishing it off as I speak right now to all of you. He is also putting the finishing touches on his historic speech to the Cambridge Union, which he will deliver via video link in a debate on October 15th to defend freedom of speech, not only for Michael Savage, but for all of us here in the United States and in the West. And to you, Michael, if you're listening to the show, I want to thank you once again, my friend, for the tremendous honor and privilege to fill in for you today. I can't tell you what a feather it is in my cap and how proud I am to try to fill your legendary huge shoes. It is always a very daunting task. You are perhaps the most brilliant talk show host in the history of the United States, certainly to me anyway, the top host in this country. Your talent is legendary, but more than that, I admire you, your courage, your bravery, and I'm speaking now as a journalist, as a columnist at the Washington Times, who's faced my own adversaries and enemies over the years. You are someone who has faced down the viciousness and fanaticism of Islamic jihadists. You are now standing up against that cowardly, immoral government in Britain that continues to put you on a list which has endangered your life and that of your family, shamefully putting you on a list beside Russian skinheads who have murdered people, including 10 immigrants, Hamas terrorists who in cold blood killed Jewish parents and bashed the skull of their four-year-old daughter. These are the kind of people that they are linking you to. And this is why, to all of you out there, the listeners of the Savage Nation, I strongly urge you, not just as a journalist and as a member of the media, but as somebody who loves this country with all of my heart and my soul, go to michaelsavage.com and sign the petition that will eventually be presented to Congress. This is a petition that is near the top of michaelsavage.com. It is to defend free speech. It is looking to collect signatures from people all around the country to demand that the American government, and in particular, the State Department and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, stand up for an American patriot and an American nationalist who has done nothing but speak truth to power on the air, peacefully, nonviolently, and civilly for over a decade and a half, whose fundamental liberties and freedoms are being assaulted by the British government. This is an international case. This is a case of huge international proportions. Because what the British government is now doing by blacklisting Savage is that they are now trying to criminalize and delegitimize conservative opinion. They are now kowtowing and caving to the Islamic fascists in their midst in Europe and in England and in London. And they are now trying to find a scapegoat, a fall guy, that they can somehow to equalize the balance. So it's not just Islamic crazies and nut jobs that are on the banned list, but also a white male who happens to be an American and a conservative. And most importantly, by signing this petition, you will not only be speaking out on behalf of freedom of expression and freedom of speech, but you will demand that the members of Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, stand up for the U.S. Constitution, for U.S. national sovereignty, and for freedom itself. Because if these members of Congress, if they cannot stand up now and defend one of their own who is being beleaguered, assaulted, and besieged, if they can't stand up for something as basic as freedom of speech, then what good are they? What good are they as our representatives? And in particular, I want to speak now to the Republicans in Congress. I can understand appeasement and cowardice from the Liberal Democrats, because that's all they've been doing for the last 3 to 4 decades. They sold us down the river in Vietnam. They abandoned the fight during the Cold War. They called Ronald Reagan, that courageous and great president, a warmonger. They stood by and did nothing in the genocide in Rwanda. They have called for retreat in Iraq and in Afghanistan. They are literally selling our American women and men, our service members, down the river. But to you Republicans, to you so-called conservatives, who supposedly say every day that you stand up for freedom and the American way of life, where have you been? This story has gone on for month after month. And as the more we find out, the more rotten it gets. It's like peeling an onion. You peel off one layer and then there's another layer. But yet at the bottom of it, at its core, it is rotten to the core. It is there that we have found out that the British government, all the way up to Prime Minister Gordon Brown, knew about the blacklist, knew that Savage was going to be put on it, and sanctioned it. And this was done by former Home Secretary Jackie Smith in a cowardly effort to appease the Islamic lobby within Britain. And this is a fundamental assault on fundamental human rights, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and freedom of political views, something that we in America hold profoundly dearly and something I thought the West did as well. And yet as this has gone on, as Savage's name has been tarred and slandered and smeared, the Republicans in Congress have remained silent. This is why it is important as conservatives that we now stand up and demand that our members of Congress speak up for Michael Savage, that we give them this petition with hundreds of thousands, if not millions of names on it, to shame them into action, to shame them for their cowardice, to shame them for their indifference, and say to them, you as members and representatives of the American people, you who sit in the greatest legislative branch in the history of the world, there where the likes of Daniel Webster and Henry Clay and John Quincy Adams and some of the great lawmakers and senators and members of Congress, titans of democracy, where you now stand on their shoulders, can you not stand up for something as fundamental and basic as freedom of speech? What has this man done to deserve being blacklisted and to have a target put on his back? What has he done? What was his great crime? Did he strap on a dynamite belt and blow himself up and kill Jewish women and children? Did he go out with a bunch of skinheads or neo-Nazi racists with a baseball bat and smash their skulls in and mutilate their bodies and then laugh about it afterwards when they were imprisoned and put in jail? No. This is a man who, through logical, rational, passionate discourse on the airwaves, defends the American nation, defends our borders, our culture, and our language. He defends God, country, and family. He champions limited government, low taxes, victory in the war against Islamic fascism. What's wrong with that? And even to you liberals out there, and you socialists, and you centrists, and you moderates, all of you that disagree with Savage, let me tell you this. As one famous German once put it, I was opposed to Hitler. But when they came for the communists, I did nothing. When they came for the Jews, I did nothing. When they came for the Democrats, I did nothing. When they came for the gypsies and the homosexuals, I did nothing. But when they came for me, it was too late. It was too late. This is the fundamental issue that we now face. Are we going to allow these Islamic jihadists who have now been slowly swelling within our ranks, both here in the United States and in London, Paris, and Berlin, all across Europe, who are now murdering our soldiers as we speak in Afghanistan and in Iraq, who are now planning to launch a global jihad to create a world Muslim empire, as we stand there and cower in front of them, are we to allow them to intimidate us? Are we to allow them to change our very way of life? To change our very values? To now go against a man who has had the guts to speak truth to power and to confront them head on, unequivocally and unapologetically. And for this, that was his crime, because he spoke truth to power. And for this, he has been banned in Britain with a massive target now put on his back, fearing for his very safety and his very life and that of his family. If we as Americans, and more than that, if the members of Congress, if they cannot defend this most sacred of all rights, the freedom of speech, the freedom of expression, then, my friend, you are no good for nothing. We might as well just kiss our republic away. This is what is at stake here. This is a watershed moment in our history and in international politics. And yet the media remains silent. The political class remains silent. I have only one word for all of you out there. Shame on you. Shame on you. And this is why, as we have done many times, when we beat back amnesty for illegal immigrants, when we defeated that Dubai deal, when we stood back and are now saying, finally, no to socialized medicine, we must now stand up with one voice and say, not just as conservatives, but as Americans, we will not allow freedom of speech to go quietly into the good night. We will not allow our sacred birthright and our sacred principles to be violated by those shysters and cowards and phonies in London. And we will now demand that the State Department and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton bring this up with the British government. The Europeans are now defending that pedophile and rapist Roman Polanski. If they can defend a moral degenerate like Roman Polanski, don't tell me that our State Department and our Secretary of State can't defend a literate, intelligent, courageous talk show host like Michael Savage. I want to hear from you. Should you sign that petition? Why have members of Congress not been vocal in defending Savage? In fact, why has the political class, from the right to the left, Republicans and Democrats, been silent? I want to hear from you, 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We are discussing the petition to defend free speech that Michael will eventually deliver to our members of Congress. And why is it that our political class on Capitol Hill refuses to speak out and stand up for Michael as his fundamental human rights are being violated? I urge all of you, go to michaelsavage.com. Please sign the petition. Michael is now literally putting the final touches on what I think is going to be one of his best books, a classic, Banned in Britain. He is also preparing the final touches on his speech to be delivered October 15th to the Cambridge Union to try to convince the British public to force their government to overturn this ban. If you also go to michaelsavage.com, Michael will be discussing this breaking story tomorrow when he comes back. It is a blockbuster of a story. Apparently now, according to the Associated Press, long secret security tapes, apparently four tapes showing the blast in the Oklahoma City bombing of 1995. All of them apparently have now gone blank. Those tapes have all gone blank moments before the blast. It seems to me that there could have been some tampering involved. And why? Why is it now that those tapes, long held, long in secret, suddenly went blank, now have gone blank as they've been released? Is there some kind of a cover-up going on? Is there something that people don't want you to know about? Go to michaelsavage.com, and you can definitely read all of it on the site. Let's quickly take a call. Scott from Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. Yes, now you've got me really worried about the Islamic people in general. But what I'm wondering is why when you brought the point that might go to the Islam and the people, why did you say that they wanted a white male? Why not an American? Why make it a white male thing? Is it an attack on the white male? Is that what you think?
Scott, essentially, if you want to understand liberalism in a nutshell, it has been at war with the white male for the last three decades. Look at Obama. You just I'd have to go any further than Obama. Look at his association with someone like Reverend Wright. He constantly attacks whites. He constantly attacks Western civilization. Whites have been made to feel guilty for all the supposed ills of racism, imperialism, sexism, homophobia. When you pick out a guy like Michael Savage, what the British government is clearly trying to send a signal to is this. We are not just discriminating against Muslims. We are not just discriminating against people of Arabic descent. We have also picked not only an American, not only a conservative, but somebody who also happens to be the last persecuted class, in my opinion, in the Western world, and that is the white male. And so by picking out Savage, they think that they have now found their poster child for the sort of right-wing, extremist, crazy racist. And this is the sort of the reality of America, the sickness of America, is you have all of these crazy nationalists and patriots, and now they're going to make an example of him. And to their shock and dismay, they have seen that this man is willing to stand up to them and fight back. And if we stand up with Savage as well, I believe we can get this band overturned. More after this break. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is really wrapping up his book, Banned in Britain, which will be coming out very soon. I expect it to be one of Michael's greatest books, maybe his greatest. He's had some very good books over the years. He is also putting the finishing touches on his historic speech to the Cambridge Union, which has seen the likes of Theodore Roosevelt and Winston Churchill. Savage will finally be able to defend himself in a British public court of opinion, and I believe he will have a very, very rude surprise for all of those free speech censors in Britain who think they picked on a racist conservative, and we're going to find out very quickly that they picked on a man who has more courage and more bravery and more guts in his little pinky than that entire island collectively has. So I'm definitely looking forward to that October 15th event. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Why is Congress afraid to speak up on behalf of Michael Savage? Why have members of Congress, especially Republicans, been silent in defending one of the most prominent, influential, and articulate conservatives in our country? I want to hear from you. Let's go to Kendra from San Diego. Kendra, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. Hey, Jeff. I'll just be very blunt. You have a dictatorship in place, and if you get in the way, they're going to remove you and take you out of the way, unfortunately. And that's why people are not speaking up. Look at our other talk show hosts that are not even coming to defend Dr. Savage, which I'm thoroughly disgusted with. So,
you know, Kendra, I could not agree with you more. To me, what has been most despicable and shameful is that other conservative talk show hosts, and I won't mention their name because I don't even want to give them the publicity on this show. It is to me utterly appalling and shameful that they have not risen up in defense of one of their own. Now, whenever I do, when I sub for Michael on his show, I always get emails from people, and this is what they say to me. But Jeff, you don't understand. Savage is his worst enemy. If he's going to stand there and insult other radio talk show hosts, how dare he then expect them to defend him when he is being attacked? And here is my answer to them. I don't give a damn if he insults them and their mothers. And let me be even more clear. If Michael Savage wants to insult me, Jeff Kuhner, and he wants to ridicule my columns in the Washington Times or disagree with them or poke fun at me, I don't care. Because what this is about freedom of speech and freedom of expression and freedom of the press. The media should be jumping off their seats to defend him. And especially conservative talk radio, when we are now facing the barrel, we're facing down the barrel of a gun with these people trying to impose censorship here at home through the fairness doctrine, with a liberal Democrat Congress and a socialist Marxist president who is now looking to censor conservative opinion in this very country. You would think you would put aside your petty differences. I don't give a damn if Savage has offended or insulted people. That's not the issue. Freedom of speech and basic human values and human rights transcend personal rivalries. They transcend insults between radio hosts. And let me say this, and I know for this, I don't want to presume to speak for Michael, but on this, I will presume to speak for Michael. If Rush Limbaugh, if Sean Hannity, if any one of those other hosts, Bill O'Reilly, if there was an attempt to blacklist them from Britain or Germany or France, and their names were put aside, terrorists and mass murderers and neo-Nazi racists, I am telling you, Michael would come to their defense. Now, he may rightly say, I'm not crazy about their brand of conservatism. I don't think they're a particularly effective talk show hosts. I even think many of them are buffoons on the air. But that's not the issue. This is an issue of defending our most basic civilization and our birthright. If we cannot stand up for freedom of expression and freedom of speech and tell the British government, excuse me, who the hell are you to blacklist one of our own, an American whose only crime is to speak the truth to power, to speak his values and his ideas on the airwaves? He has never advocated violence. He has never called for violence. He has never rationalized violence. Even if you think he's wrong, more than that, even if you think he's immoral, if you think he's the greatest idiot since P.T. Barnum, it doesn't matter. The point here is that when you believe in freedom of expression, when you believe in democracy, you stand up for people like Michael Savage. Isn't that what a free press is for? Isn't that their supposed cherished principle, their overriding principle, freedom of the press? And yet now, their silence is deafening. All you hear is silence. And now this man, with a target on his back, has to stand up and fight for his own dignity and his own good name. And Michael has said it, and let me repeat it. The First Amendment, freedom of speech, is not designed to protect comfortable speech. It's not designed to protect easy or safe speech. That's no problem. It's designed to protect offensive speech. Whatever happened to all those liberals who 30, 40 years ago used to say, I don't agree with what you say, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it? Where are they all now? They are cowards. Just as they are cowards in Iraq, just as they are cowards in Afghanistan, just as they are cowards on anything that affects this country. They are not liberals. They are socialist totalitarians. They are thugs at heart. And this is what this issue reveals: the totalitarianism of the modern left. And that is why they are out to destroy Michael Savage, because he exposes them for the thugs and the phonies and the liars that they are. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Jimmy in New York. Jimmy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
If I ever needed somebody to defend me, I definitely would want you. Listen, I don't think Mike Savage If he only had a problem with radical Islam, I don't think he'd have such a big problem. He'd be safe. But Mr. Savage has a problem with Marxist and radical Islam. It's the Marxist element that has the power behind the scenes. They would be the ones who would be going after Mr. Savage to discredit him. Because remember, radical Islam is not that dangerous without the Soviet weapons they get. So I think that Mr. Savage is more targeted by the Marxists than he is the Muslims. It's the Marxist who makes these immigration policies around the world that lets and invites radical Islamists in. In London, radical Islamists were calling for the destruction of England. Those people weren't put on a blacklist.
Bingo. You nailed it, Jimmy. Jimmy, you absolutely nailed it. In this, I've been to London many times. And look, let me be frank. To me, London and England and Britain, the entire island, is one big toilet in the sea. I would just flush it. I hate going to England. In a way, if the consequences here were not so serious for this man, in a way, I would almost consider it a blessing to be banned. Please, I don't want to go. Please. Oh, you mean I can't go? Oh, good. I've been to England many times. First of all, it is a filthy, filthy country. And I mean filthy in the sense of they don't pick up garbage. They don't pick up trash. This is a big problem now all across the streets of England. They are literally unable or unwilling to pick up trash. It has now become the dirtiest country in Europe. I remember when I was going there, you go to a telephone booth. I've never seen something as sickening as this. I'm talking hundreds of stickers inside the telephone booth, in every telephone booth across London. You want Asian girls 12, 13, 14. You want them in chains. You want them from Nigeria. You want them from Hungary. You want young girls. You can do whatever you want with them. You can have sex from the ceilings as far as they're concerned. Here's the number. Call. It is literally a land of moral degenerates. My wife and I, we stayed at a bed and breakfast. And I mean, this is a woman, middle class woman, lives in London. She was maybe 40, 45, typically English. She brings us in. Every day we serve this greasy, disgusting breakfast with the greasy eggs and the disgusting sausages. Honestly, my intestines were clogged for weeks. I don't think I've actually been well ever since I've come back. I can't digest a proper meal since I've gotten back. But leave aside the horrible food. There she is. And she's talking to us. She says, you know, my husband left me for a much younger woman. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. She says, no, I don't care that he shagged around, that he was shagging. Why couldn't he just get it out of his system? Why did he just leave me? That's what I don't understand. He didn't have to leave me. If he wants to shag, let him shag. And I'm like, lady, you mean you don't mind that your husband was fooling around on you? No, it's just natural. It's just natural. A couple days later, one of my experiences, I could go on all for the full 3 hours, but I'll spare you. I get woken up in the middle of the night. It's like 3:30 in the morning. This woman has a daughter. They're separated. She sleeps in one room. The daughter sleeps in the other room. The daughter couldn't have been more than 20, 21. I thought it was a nightmare. It's 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm woken up, I kid you not, by loud sounds, screaming, wailing. I'm getting up. I go, what's going on here? Is somebody being strangled? What's going on? I get up. I open the door. I start walking down the hallway. I go, oh my God, they're having an orgy. The mother is sleeping with something and obviously having a good romp. And I swear, it was like a symphony. I felt like I was at a symphony. I could have been like the conductor. You know, there she's wailing. Then the daughter's wailing. Then the mother's wailing. I mean, I could go on and on and on. England is a land of moral perverts and degenerates and drunks. That is England in a nutshell. And so when Jimmy says that they have been taken over by Marxists, yes, and England has been taken over by Marxists, and now we have that Marxist socialist Obama in the White House. And what you are now seeing is slowly but surely the 1960s revolution is coming to pass. You are seeing abortion on demand. You are seeing drugs become part of our youth culture. You are now seeing that borders have been obliterated. We are now being besieged by third world immigration from all across the world. We now have socialism at home. We are now on the verge of having nationalized health care. We now pay taxes through the nose. We are now slowly losing our economic prosperity. We are now on the verge of bankruptcy as a nation. And yet, what is the biggest problem in England? Banning somebody like Michael Savage. Literally in the streets of London, as I walk through the streets of East London, as Jimmy rightly points out, Islamic jihadists are calling for the destruction of England and the West. They openly call Christians and Jews pigs and monkeys. They stand there and say that their day is coming, that we have now become decadent, that we have lost our way, that we do not have the spine, we do not have the guts and the courage and the stomach to defend our very way of life. And so here in the United States, in Washington, D.C., where I'm speaking to you from today, in the belly of the beast, our political and media elite remain silent. They remain silent as we are losing the war in Iran. They remain silent as our boys and girls are dying in the mountains and caves of Afghanistan. They stand impotent on the world stage. Communists like Vladimir Putin have now forced us out of Eastern Europe. It is a total capitulation. And the only man, at least that I'm aware of, on major conservative talk radio who has the guts and the conviction to stand up and speak truth to power has been Michael. And that was his greatest crime. And so now all of these so-called lefties and socialists who talk about tolerance and diversity, where is their tolerance now? Where is their respect for diversity of opinion? They have sold this man down the river and hung him out to dry. But to their shock, to their utter shock, he is now going to rise up. And mark my words, on October 15th, he will deliver a barn burner of a speech. And he will show the British for what they are. They are a bunch of moral cowards. And believe me, today it is Savage. Today it will be you. His fight is our fight. And that's why we as conservatives and as Americans need to stand behind him, sign that petition, and force Congress to push the White House and Hillary Clinton to defend this man and remove him from the blacklist. I'm Jeff Kuhner of The Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage, the living legend, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from The Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Why is Congress and the political and media class refusing to speak up and defend Savage and get him off Britain's blacklist? I want to hear from you. Vincent from Michigan, welcome to The Savage Nation.
Hey, Jeff. I want to weigh in on the silence of Limbaugh and O'Reilly. You made a convincing argument, so I'm lining up with you, though I am really uncomfortable when Michael trash talks these people. But having said that, Bill O'Reilly defended Bill Maher shortly after 9/11 when he accused Americans of being cowards for lobbing bombs from a distance, and Al-Qaeda was brave for flying planes into buildings. You know, O'Reilly defended him for freedom of speech, which appalled me. But yeah, so why are they silent on this?
I mean, that's Vincent. I mean, that's a $64,000 question. Here is my look. This is my take on it. Knowing these liberals, having to break bread with them, working in the press corps as I do in Washington, I know how they think. I know how they breathe. I know what their instincts are. They are fundamentally intolerant. They are not liberals. They are truly milquetoast Marxists. Yes, they're embarrassed by the likes of Stalin or Lenin. They don't like having to murder 30, 40, 50, 60 million people to create their workers' paradise. They prefer to do that more subtly. But fundamentally, they do not believe in freedom. They do not believe in freedom of speech. They certainly don't believe in the freedom of the economy and free market capitalism. But they are fundamentally intolerant. To understand the modern left, to understand the liberal political and cultural elite in this country. They are full of double standards. They will attack and vilify Christians, but they will not attack and vilify Muslims. If you notice, an attack on Pope Benedict XVI or an attack on an evangelical preacher is fair game. They can fund artwork that puts the crucifix in a bottle of urine. As they put it, quote, a pee on Christ. That to them is freedom of expression. But they will not publish cartoons in Denmark that make fun of the Prophet Muhammad. That's where their tolerance ends. And in the end, if you truly want to understand the left and you want to understand the likes of Bill Maher, they are self-hating Americans. This is Obama at his very core. This is why he is the apologist in chief. You want to understand why he went to the UN last week? He apologized for America. When he talks to Iran, he apologizes for America. When he talks about Afghanistan, he apologizes for America. When he met Putin several months ago, he apologized for America. What are we to apologize for? For having defeated the Nazis in World War II? For having defeated the greatest system of evil that the world has ever seen, namely communism? For what? Having liberated 50 million Muslims in Iraq and Afghanistan? What are we to apologize for? For creating the greatest political, economic, and social system the world has ever seen? And yet he stands there, Barack Obama, and stands there and apologizes for the United States? And the liberal media applaud him at every turn. Because here is why. And I will say this clearly and unequivocally. Liberals would rather die and commit suicide than stand up to radical Islam. Savage is not willing to commit suicide. That's why he's hated, and that's why they cannot support him. But in the end, he'll be proven to be right, because in the end, conservatives are right and liberals are wrong. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Good morning. We are here to announce that yesterday in Vienna, the United States, the United Kingdom, and France presented detailed evidence to the IAEA demonstrating that the Islamic Republic of Iran has been building a covert uranium enrichment facility near Qom for several years.
That was President Obama speaking on the new information about a second uranium enriching site in Iran. This is Jeff Cooner filling in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. My friends, Michael is taking today off. He is literally putting the finishing touches on what I believe will be his masterpiece, Banned in Britain, a book that will be published very, very shortly. He is also finishing off his speech that will be delivered to the Cambridge Union on October 15th in his bid to have the ban against him overturned in England. My friends, I don't know what else to say. There was President Obama, had a major summit last week, the G20 summit. Before that, he was at the United Nations with leaders such as French President Nicolas Sarkozy and British Prime Minister Gordon Brown. I truly believe that now, after the events of last week, and with the speech that Obama gave at the UN General Assembly, where he apologized for the United States once again, and more importantly, explicitly said that the United States will no longer be the dominant power on the world stage, that it is now just a nation among nations and a power among powers, that this now marks the end of the American moment. America is no longer a superpower. Let me repeat that to all of you. America is no longer a superpower. We, under President Obama, have now suffered a decline on the international stage that is swift, sudden, and stunning. Wherever you look around the world, American power is in retreat. Our influence is dwindling day by day, week by week, almost hour by hour. In Eastern Europe, we have now abandoned our great allies, the Poles and the Czechs, scuttling our missile shield plans, clearly after being blackmailed and pressured by the Russians. In fact, my sources have explicitly told me that Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin and Russian President Dmitry Medvedev in private are literally gloating. They now know they have won a tremendous victory against the United States. They have now taken Eastern Europe away from America's sphere of influence. Those very same nations and peoples that suffered under Soviet occupation and oppression for decades, people like Lech Walesa, the late Pope John Paul II, Vaclav Havel, the former leader of the Czech Republic, all of those dissidents who rotted and died in the gulags and torture cells of the KGB, all of them have now been betrayed by Obama. And my Eastern European friends have been telling me, both in emails and in phone calls, they cannot understand why they were betrayed by the United States. We looked to you for decades as our hero, our defender, our savior. We knew that you were the only ones that could defend us and liberate us from communist totalitarianism. And when the Berlin Wall came down, what did we do in Eastern Europe, they tell me? We rushed to defend America. We joined NATO. We became democracies. We implemented painful free market reforms. But most importantly, led by the valiant Poles, we sent our cream of our youth to fight with you side by side in Afghanistan and in Iraq. We have stood shoulder to shoulder with you. Wherever you lead, we will follow. And now we have been stabbed in the back. This to appease the Russians. And so now Eastern Europe is no longer America's sphere of influence. It is now Russia's sphere of influence. And as this goes on, the evil Russian bear is on the prowl. That murderer, Putin, who murders journalists and dissidents and any opponent of his regime, who openly in public says that the defeat and disintegration of the Soviet Union was, quote, the greatest calamity of the 20th century, who hungers to return of the evil empire, to restore the great Russian empire, is now arming Iran as we speak. He is now sending the Iranian fascist mullahs SS-300 anti-aircraft batteries that will enable the Iranians to shoot down Israeli planes or even American planes should we decide to bomb Iran. And as this goes on, communist China is buying up our national debt. As the Obama administration and the Democrats in Congress spend and spend and spend, we are being buried under a mountain of debt. In fact, the debt now is so bad. This year alone, it will be nearly $2 trillion. Over the next 10 years, our debt will double and then triple. No country in the history of the world has been able to recover from this level of debt. Our children and our grandchildren will be paying the price for this administration's reckless economic and fiscal policies. And yet, as this goes on, Beijing is buying up our debt. We are now becoming literally the economic vassals and servants of China. We are being slowly economically colonized. And as we are slowly being outmuscled, and as we are slowly being eroded and undermined by our communist enemies, the fascists in Iran are getting bolder. Just today, Iran has now test-fired medium-range missiles that can reach Israel, the Middle East, and even parts of Europe and Russia. Now, the Hitler of our time, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, or I Want a Jihad, is now slowly amassing his Persian Nazi army for a final showdown with the Jews to wipe them off the map. This is a man who, before he came to the UN, openly denied the Holocaust, again saying that the murder of 6 million Jews did not happen. A man who has now vowed that he will wipe Israel off the map. As he put it, the stinking, rotten Zionist regime is now near its end. And as this goes on, our appeaser-in-chief apologizes to the Iranians. In fact, he now wants, again, negotiations and direct talks without preconditions. And as Obama himself had to reveal shamefully, we now find out that the Iranians again have lied to us. They keep claiming that their nuclear program is for peaceful purposes. Yet if it's for peaceful purposes, why did they have this secret nuclear facility buried deep underground near one of their holiest cities and sites, the city of Qom, which for Shiites is almost like a Mecca? And there, in that underground, they now have enough uranium enrichment, enough fuel to produce an atomic weapon. We already know from Israeli intelligence that the Iranians are now 6 months away from a nuclear bomb. And as Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has said repeatedly, he will now finish off what Hitler started. The Holocaust may not have happened in his sick, twisted mind 50 years ago, but it will happen now. And he has been sent down from God himself, from Allah himself, as he tells his followers, to complete the coming of the hidden Imam, what they believe is their Jesus Christ, to now, as he puts it, make the world ablaze with fire and create a world Muslim empire, an empire that will now inaugurate the final triumph of radical Islam. These are radical fanatics, jihadists, who are ruthless and corrupt to their very core. It is like negotiating with Hitler in the 1930s. All we are doing is giving this Nazi Persian regime more time to build their nuclear bomb, more time to unleash a Holocaust upon the Jews. And make no mistake about it, make absolutely no mistake about it. As every Israeli intelligence and military official has told me, both on the record and off the record, this time the Jews will not go quietly into the good night. This time, they will not allow themselves to be thrown into the gas ovens. Israel will fight back. And so the only question that now stands before us, we literally only have now two choices. Will we allow Iran to go nuclear, or will we not allow Iran to go nuclear? In other words, there will be a war in the Middle East. Because if Iran goes nuclear, if they get the bomb, as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, Iran will attack Israel, and Israel will be forced to respond, and it will lead to a nuclear holocaust in the Middle East, which will draw in the great powers into potentially not just a regional war, but maybe even a world war. Or we must attack Iran now. If we do not take out their nuclear facilities, literally, the Iranian regime will now have the greatest weapon of mass destruction in the hands of the most ruthless, dangerous fanatics, maybe since Adolf Hitler. If we do not take them out, the only option is for Israel to take them out. And here is the dirty deed. Here is the dirty problem. Israel does not have the military capacity to knock off all of Iran's nuclear facilities. At best, they can push them back for several years. And so now, we the American people, we the American nation, must now make a final decision. And this decision can only be made in the next couple of months. Will we now say no to a Holocaust in the Middle East? Will we now say no to our Islamic fascist enemies and their communist allies in China and in Russia, who are aiding and abetting them at every turn? Or are we going to listen to the apologist in chief as he does his spectacle, his comedy routine at the United Nations, and talks about peace and nuclear disarmament and literally negotiations? And I ask myself, is this man living on the planet Earth? Is this man living in reality? This is not a president. What we have is a fraud and a showman as president. We have somebody who is literally a radical college professor who does not understand how the world works. But in a couple of months, he will understand reality. And that reality will break his presidency. I want to hear from you. Should we allow Iran to go nuclear? If not, should the United States attack Iran and destroy its nuclear facilities? Or do you believe it is already too late? 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner from The Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from The Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Iran is on the march, and as Iran marches, Obama is running in full retreat. We saw that absolute fiasco at the UN last week, where Obama now again has given Iran another deadline. And if by October 1st they aren't willing to sit down and talk with the United States, well then, boy, oh boy, there are going to be some serious consequences. And it may even be, check this, hold your breath, sanctions may be imposed on Iran. Well, I have news for Mr. Obama and Hillary Clinton and his fellow liberals running American foreign policy. You can impose all the sanctions you want. It is now too late. Iran is now a few months away from a nuclear bomb, and the Iranians have now invested so much time, effort, and resources. They will never give up a nuclear weapon, because for them, a nuclear bomb is their way to having great power and to eventually destroy their mortal enemy, Israel. But if you listen to Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, who was on the talk show circuit over the weekend, hey, there's nothing much we can do anyway, because even if we bomb Iran, all that's going to do is push it back a few years. In the end, it's up to the Iranians. The Iranians have to decide. The regime, those fanatical mullahs, have to decide whether they want to get rid of the bomb. Boys, let's play clip two.
The reality is there is no military option that does anything more than buy time. The estimates are 1 to 3 years or so. And the only way you end up not having a nuclear-capable Iran is for the Iranian government to decide that their security is diminished by having those weapons as opposed to strengthened. And so I think, as I say, while you don't take options off the table, I think there's still room left for diplomacy.
Well, there's Robert Gates doing his best imitation of Neville Chamberlain. To me, it is absolutely incredible. It is, to me, stunning and mind-boggling. You know, this to me is why I don't like Robert Gates. This is the same guy who was told President Bush not to support the troop surge in Iraq. He was the one that said we couldn't win in Iraq. Now he's the one that's going to come out and say we really can't bomb Iran. It won't do much good. We have to rely on the mullahs. What planet is this man living on? The mullahs are never going to abandon the bomb. It's as if Hitler was going to give up his ambitions to dominate Europe. If Hitler had the bomb, he would have used it. If the mullahs get the bomb, they will use it. And yet, instead of standing up for this and recognizing it for what it is, people in Washington continue to practice the policy of appeasement. I'll be back with more. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
is Jeff Kuhner from The Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255 is the number if you want to call. We are now talking about the retreat of the United States as a world superpower, the end of the American moment. And basically, we are now looking at Obama's foreign policy and the utter disaster that it is now unleashing on the United States. I have to say, the one thing I find absolutely shocking and stunning is the way the mainstream media in this country have been fawning over the Hitler of our time. You have, for example, Time and Newsweek did major interviews with Ahmadinejad. And there they are throwing up one softball question after another. And all they keep asking him is, are you open to a deal? Are you amenable to inspections? Is there anything that we can do to accommodate you? And then, of course, you have Ann Curry from MSNBC, who did a televised interview with Ahmadinejad. And this is, to me, what I found absolutely stunning. She does it in a headscarf. She does it wearing proper Muslim attire, because for fear of offending the great man, for fear of offending the Fuhrer. Now, can you imagine if in the 1930s, as Europe was heading towards war and Hitler was getting his armies ready to unleash hell upon France and England and the people of Eastern Europe, can you imagine if our reporters went there to interview him and not only fawning all over him and begging him and asking him, what is it that we can do to somehow accommodate you, my Führer? What is it? How much space? How much land? How many economic treaties can we do for you to somehow make you happy? But not only that, but do it with a Nazi swastika armband, or do it with a cap with the Nazi slogan on it. It would be utterly appalling and shameful. And yet again, here we are, kowtowing and kneeling before this man and his evil, odious, fanatical regime. And to me, what I also found stunning, and which, again, very few people in the mainstream media picked up on. Can you just imagine the circus that the UN is? Here is the President of the United States giving a major speech to the UN General Assembly. And he is a warm-up act for that nutcase, Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi, who goes on for over 95 minutes in a rambling speech full of conspiracy theories. According to Gaddafi, I never heard this one before, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, that was a Zionist conspiracy. Everything that's wrong in the world, that's a Zionist conspiracy. He calls Barack Obama our son. Hugo Chavez, that socialist dictator in Venezuela, calls Obama our son. This is the kind of antics that have been going on at the UN. And so you have the spectacle of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now think about this. 6 million Jews dead. Look at all of the footage of Auschwitz and Buchenwald and Dachau with the skeletons and the bodies piled up on top of one another. The overwhelming documentary evidence of a Holocaust. And the Israeli Prime Minister has to go to the UN and read minutes from the meeting of leading Nazi officials when they planned the, quote, final solution of the Jewish question. In other words, Holocaust denial is now semi-respectable at the UN. That now the leader of Israel, the leader of the Jews, has to go and almost make a case that the Holocaust happened. This is the madness that the UN has descended into. These are the people that Obama says we have to reach out to. We have to be more sensitive. We have to understand their grievances. We have to tell them America is not a threat to you. We are your partners. We are your brothers. We are not your superior. We are your equal. And together we will disarm. I mean, literally, Obama passed a vague resolution. I kid you not. This is not a sixth grade child saying this. This is the President of the United States. We must have a world without nuclear weapons. What planet is this guy living on? Honestly, if you read his autobiography, Obama talks about the fact that he did a lot of cocaine as a young kid. I'm asking myself, literally, this guy is making absolutely no sense. No serious nation, Russia, China, Pakistan, you name the country, is going to give up its nuclear weapons. You know why? Because it prevents an attack from a rival power. Nobody is going to unilaterally disarm. Even French president, I can't believe I'm defending the French. But I have to say, on this one, if stop clock is right twice a day, well, even a French president can be right. Sarkozy gets up and says, listen, we live in the real world. We're not going to give up our nuclear weapons. This is the level that Obama has brought us to. He is not a president. He is an embarrassment. And slowly but surely, this embarrassment is going to lead us into a major war in the Middle East. Because mark my words, Iran is on the march. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Mike in Fort Lauderdale. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeffrey, how are you tonight? This is lunacy. This is absolute lunacy. Our policies are terrible. This embarrassment, this cardboard messiah is leading us to our doom, and the liberal media sweeps it right under the rug. The UN is one of the most corrupt organizations in the history of history. Time and time again, they have shown that they don't have our best interests at heart. And when is America going to stand up and say, hey, you know what, rest of the world, 99% of the good stuff that you have comes from America, and you need us more than we need you. Store is closed. When is that going to happen? Where is our pride, Jeffrey?
You know what? That's a very good question. Where is our pride? And this is now the dead end that Obama has brought us to. He has so degraded and undermined American power. As I point out in my column in Sunday's The Washington Times, we are no longer a superpower. And let me again repeat that. Under Obama, we are no longer a superpower. Look at us domestically. We now have become a second-class country. We now have deficits that are akin to third-world nations. We have bankrupted this country. We are now spending beyond our means. And as we are growing and being crushed under a mountain of debt, what are they doing on Capitol Hill? They are now trying to pass a trillion-dollar nationalized health care program. Leave aside that every country that has tried government-run health care, it has been a disaster. Forget that. I don't even care if you're for it or against it. We can't afford it. We can't afford it. And when he's finished with that, he wants to pass cap and trade, which will literally destroy American industry. It will be a crushing taxation. It will be crushing taxes on American industry. It will destroy jobs. It will destroy growth. It will drive businesses out of business, literally into the ground. European countries that have tried cap and trade, look at Germany, look at France. They have unemployment rates of 12, 13, 14% as a norm. They have permanent high unemployment. If you think 10% is bad now, you wait until Obama gets his legislative package through. And this is the one to me that is most galling. You want to talk about the lack of respect for this country? You want to talk about the betrayal of this country's national interests and its national sovereignty? As we speak, once they passed government-run health care, the crown jewel of Obama's domestic agenda will be to pass amnesty for illegal immigrants. They have already plotted it. They already announced it. They're already strategizing as we speak. Obama, 2 weeks ago, went in front of the Hispanic Congressional Caucus, and he said, what we will do is we will not give illegal immigrants access to government-run health care now in the current bill, because next year we will legalize the illegal immigrants. And once they are legalized, then they will get health care. So when Joe Wilson in Congress called out liar to Barack Obama, he was right. Obama was lying, because in the end, government-run health care will be also given to illegal immigrants. They'll just be legalized. And when that happens, we will lose our country, because then you will have 20 million illegals who overnight, after having broken the law and bankrupted our welfare and our schools, will now become citizens of the United States. And this will be a permanent Democratic majority. It will be a permanent liberal elite that will now dominate the United States. We will become, for all intents and purposes, a socialist nation, a post-national socialist nation. We no longer protect our borders. We no longer protect our families. We no longer protect our budgets. We no longer protect our treasuries. We protect nothing. And on the world stage, our president apologizes to the world for us. What do we have to apologize for? This to me is stunning. He apologizes to Iran. They are raping, torturing, and murdering dissidents as we speak. The people rose up several months ago, and their response was the club and the hammer to the head, the jackboot on the throat. And yet we go and crawl to Ahmadinejad, and we tell him, please, can you negotiate with us? Please, can we cut a deal? When he has said explicitly, our nuclear program is off limits. This is the thing. I have to say this. Hitler said openly, nakedly, I am coming for you. We are going to wipe out the Jews. We are going to conquer Europe. We will create a new Aryan super race. And we will dominate Europe and with it the world. Ahmadinejad has said clearly and unequivocally, we will wipe Israel off the map. And after that, we will then come for Europe and America. First, the little Satan is destroyed. Then the great Satan will be destroyed. He's put his cards on the table. What is there to talk about? Let's go to Bill in Ohio. Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Jeff. I just want to make a couple of quick points. Iran, in its history, though, has never, ever invaded another nation. And we've been lied into two wars already for Israel and Israeli interests. And now you're trying to lie us into...
Whoa. What two wars? Hold on, Bill. What two wars have we been lied into?
Iraq and Afghanistan.
How are we lied into Afghanistan? How are we lied into in Iraq?
Well, Iraq...
Were we not attacked on September 11th?
Iraq had nothing to do with September 11th.
Hold on. Whoa, we'll get to Iraq in a second. But were we not attacked on September 11th? Was this not planned from Afghanistan under the shelter of the Taliban, under the cover of the Taliban? So we went to dislodge them from power. How are we fighting Israel's war? They attacked us. 3,000 Americans have been killed. They died on that day. Many of them innocent people who did nothing except go to work. In fact, many of them went to mass and to the synagogue that morning for morning prayers. Did nothing to nobody. Nothing to one Muslim in the world. And they were butchered like dogs in the streets. And so we took out that regime. How is this? How are we now being tricked by Israel? Tell me this. How is our attack on Afghanistan somehow a ploy by Israel? Explain this to me, Bill.
Doesn't have any nuclear weapons. They're not a threat to the United States. They're a threat.
Who doesn't have nuclear weapons?
Iran. Let them fight.
They're on the verge. They're about 3 to 6 months away from having the nuclear bomb. No, they don't have it now. But let me ask you this, Bill. If their intent, first of all, let me ask you this. If they want nuclear weapons for peaceful purposes, why does a country with the second largest gas reserves in the world and the third largest oil reserves in the world, they're sitting on a mountain of gas and oil. Why do they need peaceful nuclear energy? Why?
Well,
and if it's for peaceful purposes, why are they developing those nuclear facilities like the one in Qom underground? Why in secret? Why the deception?
Well, can I answer?
Go ahead.
Why is Israel allowed to have nuclear weapons in defiance of the IAEA,
Because Israel is a democracy. I'll answer your question very simply, but I get this. Look, because I deal with anti-war leftists all the time. They say Israel can have nuclear weapons, America can have nuclear weapons, but Iran can't have nuclear weapons. Well, let me answer it for you, Bill. If Iran was a functioning, genuine democracy, they could have nuclear weapons. We don't give a damn that France has nuclear weapons. We don't give a damn that England has nuclear weapons. But we do give a damn if an apocalyptic, genocide-seeking regime has nuclear weapons, because they will use it. And you say Iran has never attacked a sovereign country? That's a lie. They have sanctioned and funded and supported Hezbollah and Hamas, who have attacked American troops. In fact, they have been killing Americans in Iraq for the last 6 years. They have blood on their hands. They have been murdering Americans. It is not just Israelis they want to kill. They have been killing Americans. And when they get the nuclear bomb, believe me, Bill, they will not only use it on Israel, they will use it on us. But that's the problem with you anti-war leftists. There's no reasoning with you. All the facts, all the evidence means nothing. Because just as the appeasers of the 1930s, no matter how much evidence you presented, peace, 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 it has to be peace. It isn't. You have to prepare for war in order to avoid war. And the only way to stop Iran is to stand up to it. I'm Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Let's go to John from New York.
Jeff, you're on fire tonight. And yes, folks, America is in peril. If we don't get a handle on the illegal aliens in this country and the open borders that's taking place, the country will dissolve itself from within. I mean, we have al-Qaeda operatives setting up cells in America, Queens, New York. They're running back and forth between Denver and Queens. This is an outrage. You will never hear no mainstream politicians talk about illegal immigration or a timeout on legal immigration. So, folks, your real argument is with the Republican establishment. You have to bring them on board with the illegal invasion of America and a timeout on legal immigration. They will do nothing about it unless they know you want them to do something about it. The argument isn't, oh, are illegal aliens going to get health care? The argument is, what are illegal aliens doing in our emergency rooms? What are
exactly
illegal aliens and al-Qaeda cells doing in Queens, New York?
Exactly.
Now, Mike,
bingo, you nailed it. You nailed it, John. You absolutely nailed it. We are slowly losing our country. And I think if you truly ask yourself, deep down, late at night, do you really sense that this country is on its way up or on its way down? Do you believe that tomorrow is going to be better than yesterday? I truly believe, ever since Obama has become president, and I'm not a booster for George Bush. I was a huge critic of George Bush, not just on the earmarks, but on the budget deficits, on the way he's handled the war in Iraq, on his unwillingness to finish the job in Iraq, on his decision to try to give amnesty to illegal immigrants, the Dubai ports deal, prescription drug benefit. Listen, I could keep you up all night with my criticisms of George Bush. But the issue here is, since Obama has come into power, we now have a president of the United States who is determined, and I repeat, determined, to undermine American power abroad. He wants to bring us low. He wants to bring us to our knees. He no longer wants us to be a superpower. And that is exactly what is happening right in front of us. We are in full retreat everywhere around the world. Our enemies are being emboldened. Our friends are being betrayed. And home, at home domestically, he is raising our taxes, bankrupting our treasury. He is crippling our businesses. And he is now going to allow the 20 to 25 million illegal immigrants who have come in illegally, broken our laws, violated our sovereignty. He wants to give them amnesty. It's not enough that they've bankrupted our hospitals and our welfare systems and our school systems. It's not enough that they're filling up our prisons, but now they're going to be rewarded with the ultimate prize, which is citizenship, unless we conservatives stand up and say no. This is Jeff Kuhner from The Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on The Savage Nation.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is taking today off. He is literally putting the finishing touches on his upcoming classic, Banned in Britain, a book that will document his struggle to get himself off of Britain's blacklist and to continue his fight for freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of expression here in America. He will also, Michael is also literally wrapping up the speech that he'll be delivering via video link to the Cambridge Union on October 15th to continue to make his case to the British public and hopefully to the British government to get rid of this scandalous, immoral, and almost criminal attempt to blacklist Michael Savage and to get him off the ban. For Cooner, I'm a columnist at the Washington Times. I have managed to fill in for Michael on several occasions. It is truly an honor and a privilege every time. Michael, if you're still listening out there, I just want to thank you once again from the bottom of my heart. As a journalist in D.C., there are many, many journalists and commentators that I have to deal with on a regular basis. I can say this clearly and unequivocally, 95 to 99% of them I have absolutely no respect for. You are one of the few people in this country, as a journalist, as a commentator, and as a radio host, that I truly respect. I respect your learning. I respect your experience. I respect your honesty. But most importantly, I respect your bravery and your courage, because you have been one of the few voices speaking against the corrupt liberal establishment that is slowly destroying this country that we love. And Michael, I want you to know that no matter what happens, whether Britain decides to get you off the blacklist or not, your work has been nothing short of heroic and courageous, and I want to salute you, my friend. We're going to change pace just a little bit, shift gears. We've been talking about Iran and the Savage's struggle in terms of defending his free speech rights. But there's another major story that's developing in Europe that has clear domestic and American repercussions. And that has been the arrest of Roman Polanski, the famed film director. For those of you that don't know Polanski, he is a very prominent director who did films such as Chinatown and Rosemary's Baby. He was considered, certainly in the 1970s, to be one of the premier directors in Hollywood. In 1977, he was arrested on charges of having had sex with a 13-year-old girl at a photo shoot at Jack Nicholson's house. Let me repeat that. This grown man, a powerful and famous director, at a photo shoot at Jack Nicholson's house, had sex with a 13-year-old girl. She wasn't 16. She wasn't 17. She wasn't close to the age of consent. This was literally a child. Roman Polanski was convicted for statutory rape, yet before he could come to a sentencing hearing, he fled the United States and has been living in exile and on the run in Europe. He has taken residence in France, where he has made his home, and from there, over the last several decades, he has produced film after film after film, in fact, even winning an Oscar for the 2002 film The Pianist, which between you and me, I did not think was a very good film. I thought it was completely overrated, and I'm not a big fan generally of Polanski's work. And the reason why I'm not a fan of Polanski's work is I think the man is a pervert. I think the man is an absolutely moral degenerate. He is somebody to me who is satanic. This comes across in much of his work. He is a man who is known for his high-flying lifestyle. He does a lot of drugs. He has had countless women. He is infamous for having orgies, both in Switzerland, where he has a chalet, and in Paris and in France. He has had numerous wives. He is as promiscuous as they come. He literally goes through women the way I go through cheeseburgers. This is a man who has absolutely no moral scruples whatsoever. And he has been hiding in Europe, living in Europe, as a famed director. And the French authorities, along with his native country of Poland, where he lived for several years as a child, have been protecting Roman Polanski, and they refuse to extradite him to the United States. And so when he went to a recent film festival in Zurich, Switzerland over the weekend, he was finally arrested by Swiss authorities. He is now being detained. And now the question is, will he be sent back to the United States for a trial? You would think this is a no-brainer. You would think in a normal world with basic decency and common sense that a rapist and a pedophile like Roman Polanski, who has been on the run from the American law enforcement for the last several decades, would be sent back to the United States to face trial again, to face a judge, and to get sentenced and put in prison, as all rapists should. Instead, he is literally being hailed as a cultural icon and hero all across Europe. The Hollywood left-wing establishment has now come out vociferously in defense of Roman Polanski. Polanski is a genius, they say. Polanski is somebody who has transformed American cinematography and the cultural landscape of America and Europe. He is a hero. He is somebody who has produced one piece of great art after another. And the fact that he raped that girl and the fact that there was statutory rape, that's irrelevant. According to the Europeans and to the Hollywood elite, that was years ago. He's done charity work. He's atoned for his sins. He's now married. He's got several children. He's 76 years old. This is cruel and unusual. Why should this man now be locked up in Switzerland and deported to the United States? And the French, and you can always count the French to do this, even French President Nicolas Sarkozy has now demanded a resolution of this issue. And the French culture minister has now come out, and I kid you not, has said, there is a generous America, but there is also a scary America. We can see this in the face of this question, of the face of the question of Roman Polanski. In other words, the French are willing to stand up for a pervert and rapist and moral degenerate like Roman Polanski, but they will not stand up against the Nazi Persian dictator of Iran. No, 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 no. Opposing a murderer, a mass murdering thug like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. No, no, that's not French. Those aren't French values. Standing up to the dictator Saddam Hussein. That's not French values. Dying with Americans in Afghanistan as we fight those evil butchers, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. Those aren't French values. No, no, that's, hey, this is where we, in Europe and France, this is where we take our stand. This is the problem with Europe, and this is the problem with the Hollywood elite in a nutshell. They have literally lost all moral decency, and they have lost any kind of a moral core. They have now become animals. And this is what liberalism does. It reduces human beings to animals. It is abortion on demand. It is sex without consequences. It is gay marriage. It is promiscuity. It is rampant drug use. It is no longer able to control our borders. It is the sense that human beings are entitled to do whatever they want, whenever they want, with no consequences. So even a rapist like Roman Polanski is now defended and glorified all across Europe, with even the leaders of nations, Poland and France, actively lobbying the Swiss government and Sarkozy threatening to call Obama personally and demanding that Obama pass clemency so that Polanski can go home to France. Well, I'm sorry, but in this country at least, with most Americans at least, maybe not in Hollywood, but in the heartland, most Americans still believe that having sex with a 13-year-old girl is not only immoral, is not only wrong, but it is criminal. And criminals should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. This man destroyed that woman. This man destroyed that girl for the rest of her life. And I don't care that she doesn't want this case to continue. That's not the issue here. She reached a settlement with Polanski, and now she just wants this thing to go away. That's not the issue. If you allow somebody of Polanski's celebrity status to get away with statutory rape, look at the precedent that it causes. Look at the precedent that it establishes. It really effectively means if you're a Hollywood celebrity with enough money and enough political clout, you can get away with anything, even rape. Even our children are no longer safe from these predators. And what Polanski has been doing, or what he did to that girl, is what the Hollywood elite have been doing to America for the last several decades. They have been peddling filth. They have been peddling nothing but cultural manure and cultural garbage on the screens and on the airwaves. They celebrate every form of perversion you can name: transsexuality, homosexuality, gay marriage, teenage promiscuity. You name it, they promote it. And what has been the result? Let us just stand back. We now have soaring divorce rates. The family unit is broken. We have drugs infecting our youth across the entire country. We now have women who are constantly degraded everywhere we go. They have been transformed into sex objects. Even our children are now being sexualized. You look at one ad after another. The kids and the models get younger and younger and younger. Our public school systems, they don't teach them how to read. They don't teach them math. They don't teach them American history. But they all know how to put a condom on a cucumber. They all know how to practice birth control. They all know the nearest abortion clinic. That's no problem. A girl at 15 or 16 can tell you exactly how to have an abortion and exactly where to go. And she can even tell you exactly how to put a condom on a guy. But you ask her to name who the first president of the United States? Duh, I don't know. This is what Hollywood has done to this country. They are slowly destroying us piece by piece. And to me, the fact that these Hollywood leftists and all of these European leaders are willing to stand up for Polanski doesn't say anything good about the United States. But more than that, it shows us what they truly believe. It shows us their values. To them, sexual degeneracy and moral perversion are more important than anything else. They don't give a damn about the war on terror. They don't give a damn about American patriotism, but they do give a damn about who they sleep with and how young they sleep with. And now the message is clear. The younger, the better. And they don't give a damn. You have statutory rape? No problem. Just as long as you're a famous Hollywood director. Now you tell me, is that decent? Is that moral? Is that what any kind of civilized society should champion? I don't think so. And this is why I truly believe that the LA District County's office has done the right thing, and they should continue to press for Polanski to be sent back and to stand trial. And if Obama does grant clemency, believe me, he is going to hear it from many Americans, because in this country, people still care about little things like having sex with 13-year-olds. Call me crazy, but many of us Americans still think that fondling and sleeping with a 13-year-old is not the right thing to do. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. I want to hear from you. Should Roman Polanski be deported back to the United States to be sentenced? 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the great Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Should Roman Polanski be deported back to the United States to face sentencing? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. Let's quickly go to David from Austin, Texas. David, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff, if I was the president and the government of Poland, and you just yanked my missile defense shield that took years to negotiate, and just put my entire people and my neighbors and my economies at risk to nuclear terror from Russia and Iran and other emerging nations down there, and then the next day, the very next day, you call up and say you're going to extradite one of my citizens on morals charges, I don't think America has the credibility anymore to make a stand on morals charges. I'm afraid you've lost that.
David, listen, you make a very, very good point. That is an absolutely excellent point. I can clearly see it from the Polish perspective. I don't blame them one bit. They were completely stabbed in the back, as some of their representatives told me on the phone. Jeff, we were betrayed. We were completely betrayed. We have been sold down the river by our closest ally and our closest friends. So, yeah, if I'm sitting in Poland, I'm going to say, hey, the hell with the Yanks. Who the hell are they now to extradite one of our own? But look, I have to stand on principle, and I just say this to you, David. If you had committed statutory rape and you ran off to France and you were sleeping with everything that came in your way, literally, and you were snorting cocaine at party after party, and then 3 decades later, you were found out by the American, whatever, by the French authorities or the Swiss authorities, do you think you'd be deported back? Damn right you'd be deported back. So my question is just one of basic fairness. Roman Polanski committed rape. He committed on American soil. He should come back and face his sentencing and be thrown in prison like any other rapist. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Roman Polanski has now been arrested and detained in a Zurich prison. Should he be extradited to the United States? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. You know, to be a rapist and to have a person who, you know, sleeps around with a 13-year-old girl like Roman Polanski, frankly, he's in his element in Hollywood. And my question for him is, why is he afraid to come to the United States and face a court of law? And if he thinks that he was unjustly sentenced, let him come and confront the evidence head on. And in fact, he can probably run around with all of his socialist degenerate friends in Hollywood, starting with Jack Nicholson, going all the way down to the rest of the gang that have been supporting him for all these decades. He can run around with them and they can do their thing from one party to another. And he's in his element. So I don't see, frankly, what Roman Polanski is afraid of. Yet, according to his lawyer, he's going to fight this thing to the end. He's going to appeal, because he does not want to come to the United States. And what is most galling here is the Europeans believe that somehow Polanski is the victim of a witch hunt. Since when is it a witch hunt to want to finally bring somebody to justice who has been on the lam, who has been on the run for several decades after committing statutory rape, sleeping with a 13-year-old girl? I mean, to me, it reminds me, I'll get to the calls in a second, but it reminds me of the whole issue regarding Clinton's impeachment. When I would bump into my liberal friends all the time, and they're like, it's just sex. It's just sex. And I'm like, you know what, guys? Some things in life are just obvious. If you don't see anything wrong with a 21-year-old intern having oral sex with the president of the United States, who's, what, nearly 50 years old? He could be your father, for God's sakes, in the Oval Office of the White House, and then to lie about it and commit perjury and force other people to lie about it and commit crime after crime. If you don't see anything wrong with that, I don't know what to tell you. Some things are just obvious. To me, it's the same thing with Roman Polanski. If these Europeans can't see that somebody who had sex with a 13-year-old girl, now think how impressionable, how innocent these a 13-year-old girl is. That could be your daughter. That could be your niece. That could be your sister. How vulnerable they are. At a photo shoot in Jack Nicholson's house, this man took advantage of her and then slept with her, destroyed her innocence and probably destroyed her life forever, changed her forever, degraded her forever, demeaned her forever, took away her innocence. When she can never get her innocence back. And so rather than come in here and face justice like a man, the coward that he is now running behind the Polish and the French government to do his dirty work for him. Well, I'm telling you, as an American, I'm appalled. Let's go to Arthur from Hartford, Connecticut. Arthur, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff, good show tonight. And I stand behind you. This appalls me as well because being a father of three daughters and, one more on the way, there wouldn't actually be a stone or a country that this guy could hide under where I wouldn't find him and turn him from a rooster to a hen. Why hasn't this country done anything to get this guy back into prison and put him where he belongs? He's a scumbag.
He is. He's a complete scumbag. To me, he's an embarrassment to the people of France, and he's an embarrassment to the people of Poland. And to me, it just shows how low they've sunk. You know, Arthur, you really want to understand why we're losing the war on terror? You really want to understand why Europe is being overrun with third world immigrants? You really want to understand why Islamic jihadists are growing in their midst? You go to Paris, you go to London, you go to Milan, you go to Berlin, you name the European city. They are slowly becoming Europe of Arabia. They are swelling with massive Muslim populations. They can't even reproduce anymore in Europe. They are below replacement levels. Their birth rate is so low, they are dying as a culture and as a civilization because they can't even recognize that having sex seducing a 13-year-old girl is not only morally wrong, it's criminal and illegal. To me, this is almost, look, I don't want to belabor this point, but I can't tell you how many times, because, you know, look, one of my privileges of being a journalist is I get around and I travel around the world and I've been to Europe and I've been to places all over. I have run into these Islamic jihadists. And let me tell you what they tell me often. They say, listen, Jeff, you can stand here and tell me all you want about freedom and democracy and the virtues that it can bring to the Middle East. When we look at you, you know what we see? We see a decadent America. Look at how you treat your women. Look how you treat your children. Look at the drugs that are poisoning your society. You people can't even hold down a marriage. You treat women like they're garbage. Literally, sex is everywhere. Drugs are everywhere. Pornography is everywhere. Homosexuality is everywhere. You think you're going to come to the Middle East and impose this on our soil? No way. No way. Our cultural decadence is destroying us as a country, but more than that, it is repulsing and repelling people all over the world. You don't think the Muslims are noticing this? Can you imagine what they're thinking? If you're in the streets of Cairo, or you're in the streets of, name your Muslim country, in Riyadh, they're thinking, my God, this man is slept with a 13-year-old girl? He's one of the most notorious philanderers in Europe? I mean, this guy goes through wives the way we go through car crashes here. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then they are defending him, and they're refusing to extradite him? My friend, they've hit the bottom of the barrel. You want to talk about the decadent infidel? He's a poster child for the decadent infidel. Let's go to Susan from New York. Susan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Jeffrey, I agree with 100% of everything you've said, but not this one issue. It's not that I defend him. The act he committed was reprehensible. I do believe he should be extradited. And I do believe Roman Polanski should go to jail for, you know, for jumping bail. However, when you consider the fact that what he went through when Sharon Tate was murdered and what that might have done to him to cause his behavior to get worse and to commit these acts, this act. And also when you consider that there are murderers like O.J. Simpson who basically are acquitted, these are murderers, and now Roman Polanski will come back here. He could get 50 years. And 50 years for jumping bail when there are murderers who go scot-free, I don't know. I just think that what he did was terrible. I think, yes, he should go to jail because he jumped bail and also because what he did was a terrible thing. I'm not defending the act, but I think 50 years is really overboard. And that's what he
did. Here's the problem with your argument. And you're not a bad person. I know that. So don't take this personally. The problem with your argument is that two wrongs don't make a right. The fact that O.J. Simpson got away with murdering Nicole Brown and the other, I forget his name, but the other guy that was with her, the fact that O.J. Simpson got away with cold-blooded stone murder does not excuse the fact that Roman Polanski, he didn't just jump bail. This is the key point. It's more than just jumping bail. He committed statutory rape. He violated this woman. He destroyed this girl. He seduced her and then had sex with her at 13. That is rape. And he needs to come back and be sentenced. He was sentenced to 40. He had 42 days in prison. And then he walked out. He was supposed to go to a court to face a sentencing hearing. And then he pulled out when he knew the judge potentially could give him a much longer sentence. This man, as far as I'm concerned, should rot in jail. If anybody has sex with a 13-year-old girl, especially a man in a position of power and prestige and authority, like Roman Polanski, to me, belongs behind bars. This is the moral degenerate of the worst order. And if we cannot say that this is wrong and that this deserves to be punished, then I really don't know what to say anymore. I really don't. Because if he's allowed to get away with it, think about it. We are now establishing a separate standard of justice for the rich and the powerful and then the rest of us. Because I guarantee you, Susan, if not that you ever would, but if you had sex with a 13-year-old boy or a 13-year-old girl, believe me, you would be thrown behind bars. You wouldn't have the Hollywood elite defending you. You wouldn't have the French and Swiss government, the French and Polish government and Polish authorities advocating on your behalf. In other words, these people in Hollywood have been getting away with this sort of stuff for decades. Just on one basic thing. They are literally almost single-handedly keeping the Colombian drug cartels in business. They are snorting so much cocaine up in Hollywood, it is literally financing these Colombian gangsters. And yet nobody touches them. It's all okay. They have destroyed this country by peddling their filth and their morals in film after film after film. Because what you see on the screen is how they live in their personal lives. And believe me, it is poisoning our children. And so my attitude is this. No. To Roman Polanski, no. You're not getting away with it. You committed a crime on American soil. Be a man and come back and face justice. Don't hide like a coward that you are. I know you're French, and I know being coward is almost genetic in your DNA, but I don't give a damn that you're French. You're going to come to American soil, and you're going to face justice like a man. Let's go to Bob from Alabama. Bob, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I agree and disagree with you at the same time. I both agree that what he did was completely inexcusable, and he should be brought back to face justice for that. I disagree with you when you try to wrap up all of our social ineptitude that we have today and hang it around the neck of Hollywood. That's a cop-out. Everybody who makes a bad decision, regardless of who you are, regardless of why you made that decision, it's your problem, and you face it. Don't try to blame somebody else. There's
Bob, you're right. I mean, if I gave across that connotation, then I misspoke, because clearly you're responsible for all of your acts. Bob, let me be perfectly frank. I am a very devout and serious Roman Catholic. I believe in the end, as everybody who believes in the Judeo-Christian tradition, that you are responsible for your moral actions and you alone, and you will be judged by God Almighty. When everything is said and done, you will meet your Maker, and you will then be judged for what you did on this earth. So I'm not absolving people's actions by saying, oh, it's all Hollywood's fault. But what I think I am saying, well, in fact, I know what I'm saying, is I'm stating the obvious. If you look at what Hollywood has been doing to America over the last several decades, it is a form of raping the citizenry of this country. It is a form of corporate molestation of our children. Let me just give you one small example. I don't want to name the movie because I don't want to give it any promotion whatsoever. But on the weekends, my wife and I like to relax. We both have very stressful lives and stressful jobs here in D.C. We sometimes will go to catch a movie. I can't tell you how this was billed as a suspense thriller. So I don't want to see enough of the real world. I don't want a documentary. I just want to take my mind away. Like most Americans, you work hard. You want to have a couple of hours to just relax. This movie was not only nonstop violence. It was about teenagers, girls having sex with one another, having orgies with other men, that this is all fine and okay. In fact, there is something wrong with you if you are not having sex with other women, or if you're not having multiple partners with the opposite sex, with men. In other words, promiscuity, lesbianity, homosexuality, drug use, violence, murder, it's all fine. And I'm looking around me, and as I'm watching this movie, I'm like, look at the message that this is sending to our young children. And then, because one of the privileges I have is I go to schools in the Washington, D.C. area. I cannot tell you how impressionable our teenagers are with the Hollywood culture. And here's what they all tell me, Bob. They all tell me to a man and a woman, Jeff, you have no idea how rampant homosexuality and lesbianity and promiscuity has become. It is like what jeans used to be 30 years ago, or smoking cigarettes. It's the in thing now. If you want to be cool, you sleep with a member of the same sex. My priest told me when we had him over for dinner, he said, Jeff, because he deals a lot with young people at a Catholic high school, the greatest sin that I hear in the confessional are girls telling me they're experimenting with lesbianity, or boys telling me that they have to have multiple partners. That literally having sex with girls is like changing one's shirt. You do it a different one with a different one every day. And they're getting this from the popular culture. So rather than reinforcing traditional values, rather than telling them, monogamy is your key to happiness and success and contentment in life, they're being told the exact opposite. And that image is being, and that message is being rammed again and again. Roman Polanski is part of that cabal. Roman Polanski's life and the moral degeneracy of his life is what they've been peddling in our culture for the last several decades in movie after movie. And this time, one of their own, I hope, is not going to get away with it, because they've been getting away with almost bloody murder for the last four decades. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Just want to thank you once again, my friend, for the wonderful opportunity and privilege to fill in for you and to talk to your wonderful listeners. And I want to speak in particular to all of you out there in the Savage Nation. You are the heart and soul of America. And I really want you to know that here in Washington, D.C., I will do everything in my power to fight for your values and your interests and your needs, because it is people like you that have made America great and will be its salvation in the future. And now more than ever, we need all of you to stand up for the eternal values and the eternal principles of freedom and liberty and justice that have made this country great and have sustained this country through every hardship. And if you go to michaelsavage.com, please go and sign the petition to defend free speech. Michael is waging a very courageous battle on behalf of freedom of expression and freedom of the press. And if we can rack up hundreds of thousands, if not millions of signatures, this will then be brought to our members in Congress, our members in the House and in the Senate, to demand that they speak up finally to end this criminal and immoral blacklist, this banning of Michael Savage in England, and to finally defend free speech and conservative values in this country. Because today it is Savage, but tomorrow it could be you or I. And that is why, whether you agree or disagree with Savage, please go and sign that petition. And especially to all of you out there who are members of the media, who are members of the Fourth Estate, you most of all should be signing that petition. Because today they are banning Savage, but tomorrow they may ban you. And if there is one thing that is the death of a free press, it is censorship. And this is what this is, a blatant attempt to muzzle and silence one of the bravest, most courageous, most principled and articulate men on the airwaves today. And I don't care if you're a Marxist or a socialist or a libertarian or a liberal or a conservative or whatever you are. Savage's fight is our fight. And that's why I urge all of you to go to the website, sign that petition. And Michael, if you're listening, my friend, good luck on wrapping up your book, Banned in Britain. I know it will be a classic, and I can assure you I will not only read it, but I will review it. God bless you, and God bless all of you in the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Savage.